This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at southdakotachannel.org.
Good morning, House State Affairs. Will come to order. Have the Secretary call the roll.
Okay. Representatives Bartling, Boland,
here.
Hager, Holly,
here.
Langer,
here.
Mickelson,
here.
Munsterman,
here.
Solem,
here.
Stevens,
here.
Virtue,
here.
Wink,
here.
Westra, Gosh,
here.
Chairman, we have a quorum.
Entertain a motion to approve the minutes. It's moved by Wink, seconded by Solem. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. Minutes are approved. We have three bills on the agenda today. The first one should go relatively quickly, so we'll take that one up first. We have Justice Zinter in the room. We will take 1072 up as soon as the prime sponsor is here to accommodate the justice. But first, Senate Bill 32, an act to codify legislation enacted in 2015. Senator Rush, are you going to speak to that bill?
Codifying?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Art Rush, state senator from District 17, and I'm here on behalf of Senate Bill 32. In addition to my Senate service, I'm also a member of the Code Commission, as is Chairman Gosh, and you're probably familiar, the Code Commission every year takes the laws that have been enacted the prior year and with the assistance of our staff decides where those laws should go and then bring it back to the legislature, asking the legislature to approve our placement. So that's all this bill does, is to approve the laws that you passed last year. So I'll stand by for any questions that anybody has.
Thank you. Any other proponents? I'm sure there will not be, but I will ask for opponents. No opponents. Any questions by the committee? This is the annual reorganization of our code bill. So
so can we change a couple of those laws we passed last year then right now?
Or? You can only change the
not
numbers that are titled.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Probably about it. Any action by the committee? Representative Mickelson.
Mr. Chair, I'll move to pass Senate Bill 32.
Second.
Okay, it's moved by Mickelson, seconded by Westra. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. Secretary, please call the roll.
Representative Bartling.
Aye.
Boland.
Aye.
Hager.
Aye.
Holly.
Aye.
Langer.
Aye.
Mickelson.
Aye.
Munsterman.
Aye.
Solem.
Aye.
Stevens.
Aye.
Virtue.
Aye.
Wink.
Aye.
Westra.
Aye.
Gosh.
Aye.
13 yea, 0 nay.
Senate Bill 32 will go to the floor if they do pass recommendation.
Mr. Chairman, I move consent.
Motion for consent. Any objection? No objection. That'll be placed in the consent calendar. Thank you, committee. We're going to take up the last bill now, House Bill 1072. An act to revise the process by which the administrator to the retirement system may receive an additional salary adjustment. Proponent testimony. Welcome. Good morning. Representative Schoenbeck.
Good morning. Can I, Mr. Chairman, I've got an amendment that I'd ask to take care of.
Mr. Chairman, while that's being handed out, might I address the bill? Thank you. Members of the committee, if we were starting from scratch today and we handed out a quiz to 105 legislators and said, two questions, who handles salary issues that the legislature deals with? And the second question, who should handle any salary issue the executive director of the retirement system has that the legislature needs to deal with? 100 of the 105 would, if there was a clean slate, they'd say, the executive board of the legislature. Three'd say GOAC, and two smart Alex would say AG. I suspect that until maybe this summer, there was somewhere between little and no recognition that there is actually statutory authority given to the Retirement Laws Committee to make a substantive decision about salary of the head of the retirement system. In fact, if you get your red book out and look it up, you won't find it. Because in the committee section, where it talks about the responsibilities of the Retirement Laws Committee, that's not there. In fact, it's the statutes that are there. It's a whole different section of the code. So, and I'm not going to go into the fiasco of what happened this summer, because that only just caused me to go back and look at the law and ask, what is the Retirement Laws Committee doing with statutory authority to address something that every other way the legislature deals with this topic, the executive board does? And I did go back and look at the history of this. When this was first started, the governor made the decision. And then after that, we passed, and I didn't check the dates on this, but I think they coincide, those what are really aspirational statutes about the Retirement Laws Committee. The Retirement Laws Committee will never do what that says, but that's fine that it's on the books, because we don't have the staff that would be out aggressively searching out options and how to be revising the system. That's all done by the retirement system. It's not done by the committee in spite of what the statute said, and it's never been done by the committee. The statutes have gone back and forth through the years about how that salary issue should be addressed. The legislative committee used to have the sole authority to decide the salary. And that went on from 95 to 98. In 1998, the law was changed, and at that point, the retirement board decided if there was an increase up to the amount that the legislature approved for state employees. And if they wanted to go beyond that, then they set a particular day, and they said that the retirement law, that the board had to approve by that day, and then the Retirement Laws Committee would decide on approving any increase over to the state employees. So the bill you have before you does two things. The amendment removes, and in my discussions with the people involved, I don't think there's any good reason anymore for the language in the statute, and on the bill, you'd find it on line 10, where it says before May 1st of each year. There's no reason why that needs to be. The amendment proposes to take that out. And then the other thing the amendment proposes is to put this before the executive board of the Legislative Research Council. And the merits of, and it doesn't do anything else about setting the amount. The board, the retirement board, still handles what their recommendation is, and if the only thing is if they recommend more than the state employee increase, it would come to the executive board of the legislature. The advantage of that, certainly over, and I'll use last year as an example, the advantage is it's they meet here in Pierre and they're archived. If you have a question about what happened at the retirement board committee meeting on that issue, you can't listen to it because it's not recorded. The executive board, when you make these decisions, they're here and they're all recorded. Another advantage is you have the experience of dealing with issues like comparable job worth and what are the appropriate salaries for comparable positions, whether they're a similar service provider employee in state government or from a comparable state. You can look at the handouts. They're online for the Retirement Laws Committee from that meeting. There are none. There is no investigation that was done by the Legislative Committee. Well, wasn't even on their agenda. So the retirement system is, I think we all understand, it's extremely important. This is a small piece of oversight the legislature has because we don't want to be in the news like other states have been in the news for retirement system issues. And I think the best, most prudent way to deal with that is for the executive board to do it. In fact, I'm more than a little dumbfounded that that isn't an opinion shared by the retirement system. In fact, that would cause me more concern about why we need to have a better system to address it. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Schoenbeck. Further proponents on House Bill 1072? Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1072?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Elmer Brinkman. I am a Cottington County Commissioner and Chair of the Board of Trustees of the South Dakota Retirement System. I represent the counties as an employer rep on the Board of Trustees. And so today I'm here to oppose for the board that is unanimous in its opposition to House Bill 1072. Before I get into the meat of this testimony, it's important to discuss the background of the South Dakota retirement system. SDRS was established as a consolidated retirement system in 1974. SDRS is a cost-sharing, multiple-employer, hybrid, public-employee retirement system that covers most public employees in the state of South Dakota. SDRS does not provide only retirement, but also survivor and disability benefits. SDRS is a trust for and on behalf of the membership, financed by matching contributions from participating public employers and their full-time employees. SDRS is governed by a board of trustees that is elected by the membership of SDRS. Both employers and employees are represented. The SDRS Board of Trustees has a strong connection to the Retirement Laws Committee, which dates back to its founding in 1974. The Retirement Laws Committee functions as a legislative oversight committee, and its responsibilities are established in Chapters 2-6 of the South Dakota Codified Laws. As you know, the Retirement Laws Committee consists of 5 members of the House that are appointed by the Speaker of the House and 5 members of the Senate appointed by the President Pro Tem of the Senate. It is designed to provide knowledge and expertise about SDRS within the legislature and is discharged with reviewing fiscal administration and retirement-related legislation for recommendation to the entire legislative body. The SDRS board views its working relationship with the committee as a partnership, and a very valuable one at that. The board and the Retirement Laws Committee hold joint educational and informational meetings that foster timely reporting, disclosure, and full transparency of SDRS. This shared ownership and responsibility fosters the success of the system. We acknowledge that a mistake was made last year. A deadline was missed, so any action relating to an additional salary for the executive director slash administrator compensation could not take place. And in fact, no action was taken in that regard. The board does not view this as a reason to change this successful relationship. Since the committee is so connected with the Board of Trustees, the Retirement Laws Committee is the best and the most logical place for the approval of the executive director slash administrator's compensation, and today I urge you to defeat this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Further opponents on House Bill 1072?
Mr. Chair.
Good morning, Justice Zinter.
Members of the committee. My name is Steve Zinter. I'm a Supreme Court Justice and Vice Chair of the Board of Trustees. I represent the judicial members on the board. As Chairman Brinkman indicated, the board unanimously opposes this legislation. And I think it's important to remember that this is a $10 billion plan that is managed by three entities. The board, the executive director, and we report to the Retirement Laws Committee. They are an integral part of our relationship and management team. The committee itself is given statutory duties specifically to consider the financial affairs of the retirement funds and to report to the legislature. So they are given the specific responsibility that's at issue here today, and that is compensation of our executive director. This system is complex, and we have 80,000 members, over 480 employer units, and it's been successful with this kind of a management arrangement. We are envied by other states around the nation, and we do not want to interrupt this management team. Again, the Board of Trustees has the fiduciary responsibility. The director does the day-to-day operation, and the Retirement Laws Committee oversees what we do. Everything we do as far as changes and recommendations go to them. And as a result, they are very familiar with what we do. Our executive director is in contact, working with individual members of that committee all throughout the year, not just at meetings. This system, again, works well because the people that are familiar with the complexity of this system are the ones that are managing it. And I think it's one thing that I realized in looking at this, in preparing for this committee this morning, I'd forgotten, but retirement laws is significant enough that one of the members of retirement laws sat with us in the search committee when we chose our executive director, and retirement laws is on the succession plan for replacement of an executive director. So it's not like there's some extraneous body that has no connection or knowledge of what's going on. All of this considered, we believe that the existing management structure should be maintained. It only makes sense to me to have the legislative body that's most familiar with the executive director and that's most familiar with this complex system to be involved in salary decisions. You know, it'd be kind of like a business. If you had a business and you hired and fired your employees, but you weren't the one responsible for saying how much they were paid, nobody would say that makes sense. And that's kind of what we think here. You know, the three board members that will testify this morning, between the three of us, we have 60 years of service on this board. And this isn't broke. It doesn't need fixing, and we'd ask you to maintain the status quo and defeat the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Justice Center. Further opponents on House Bill 1072?
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I'm Louise Loban. I'm from Volga, and I represent the employees of the Board of Regents. I have the distinction of being the longest-serving member of the Retirement System Board of Trustees. I'm here in opposition to House Bill 1072. My service on the Board of Trustees began in 1990. It's been a great pleasure to serve the public employees of the state of South Dakota, and the success of SDRS has been incredibly important to the retired employees of my university and the public employees throughout the state. The Board of Regents, the Investment Council, the Board of Trustees, the Investment Council, the Legislature, and the participating particular committees, including the retirement system, retirement laws, executive branch, and the judicial branches of the state government, and all the stakeholders of SDRS have been a part of this success. Knowing how difficult it is for some other states to maintain the fiscal integrity of their retirement plans, I am greatly concerned that we have not that we not change a model that has gotten us to where we are over one mistake. A human error. It happens. I have been a trustee of the Board of Retirement of Board of Trustees with the retirement system for over 25 years. We have had our ups and downs during that period. It was positive, professional working relationship that held us together, and the long-term connection between the Board of Trustees and the Retirement Laws Committee that is in part of that. I urge you to oppose Senate Bill 1072.
Thank you. Further opponents to House Bill 1072? Okay, seeing none, Representative Schoenbeck, I'll give you a chance for rebuttal.
Well, first I'd like to thank the trustees for not bringing all of them up. And I fully expected the circle the wagon approach, and let me just say there isn't any part of this bill that addresses criticism of the function of the retirement system that we're all proud of, and we all know that. And I think that's largely due to the trustees, and it's due to the particularly the Investment Council and the work they've done as well. But that's not what this bill is about at all. It doesn't change any of that. It just says, in fact, it doesn't even address setting the salary for the head of the retirement system. The Board of Trustees do that. But if they set it at a certain level, somebody in the legislature has to sign off on it. That's an important protection. The Retirement Laws Committee has one meeting in the summer that's the extent of their involvement. One meeting in the summer with the trustees. That's a good thing that they do. I think they should keep doing it. I think the aspirational language and the statutes that those ones happen to do be in our Red Book are all good. But that doesn't change that the best way to have a open hearing about the legislature doing their job is for the committee that does that job, which is the board. And those would be my comments, sir.
Thank you, sir. With that, we're going to open up to questions by the committee, if there are any. Are there any questions by the committee? Representative Wink.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Would Mr. Brinkman come up, please? At this time, I'm chair of the executive board, and we always annually have to have some oversight over the chief investment officer for the retirement system and so on, and that is the only way that the legislature can be more involved in his salary. Why would you not expect the same approach to the director of the retirement system? Why wouldn't that be appropriate?
Mr. Chairman, okay. Representative Wink, when the Board of Trustees considers the salary for the Executive Director Administrator, we work with Commissioner Gill with her responsibilities in personnel and so forth. We did an extensive search of compensation paid to similar executives in surrounding states, people that manage retirement systems comparable to SDRS, and based on what Commissioner Gill found in that research and so forth, we arrived at a salary recommendation. And so I think the procedure that we follow is probably quite similar to what you might do for Mr. Clark in his position.
Yes, go ahead.
And that's my point, I guess. If we do this for Mr. Clark and the Investment Council, why wouldn't we do it for the retirement system and have some kind of legislative oversight? Passing this bill would not prevent you from doing what you're doing now, and that's making recommendations. It would just be giving the legislators some oversight into what's going on.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman. I think the response I would make is just that with the historic relationship of our Board of Trustees to the Retirement Laws Committee, I think they feel there's a real investment in our success and performance, and they would just like to keep their piece of the pie.
Follow-up? Okay, further questions by the committee? Seeing none, I'll open up to committee discussion and or action. Representative Boland.
Yeah, well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Just discussion, first of all. You know, the good representative who brought this bill described the situation, and I think I might be one of the very few people, at least elected officials, who was physically present that day. I would not describe this as a fiasco, okay? Everybody admits a mistake was made, but it was caught, and it was never implemented. And so I just think there's no need to make a fundamental change, and I'm not going to make the motion, but there's no need to make a fundamental change in the relationship, the retirement system, with the legislature, because of a mistake that was caught and never implemented before any action was taken. So I'll leave it at there, and I'll ask somebody else to make a motion. Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion and or action? Representative Wing.
I'm just going to make a comment in that, this is by no means is a criticism of the retirement board system or anything they've done. They've got a fantastic record. We're all very proud of the fact that South Dakota is one of only one or two that is funded at over 100%. So this is no criticism. I just think that the legislators need some oversight on what happens here. And if the recommendation is above what all the other state employees are getting. So I think when you raise to that level, that the legislation has to be involved and just have at least listen to the valid argument. And we may very well agree, but I just think that from an oversight position, I think that I would ask that you support. Can I make a motion at this time?
The whole prefatory remark thing. Sorry.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Boland, are you asking for the floor? Go ahead.
I make a motion that we move this bill to the 41st day.
Motion is by Representative Boland to move House Bill 1072 to the 41st day, seconded by Solem. Comments on your motion?
I think we've already heard a excellent testimony from the board. I think I've stated my reasons previously, and we'll leave it at that, and I would strongly appreciate a yes vote on this motion to the 41st day. Thank you.
Further remarks on the motion to move House Bill 1072 to the 41st day? Seeing none, those in favor vote aye. Those opposed, no. Secretary, please call the roll.
Representative Bartling?
Aye.
Boland?
Aye.
Hager?
Aye.
Hawley?
Aye.
Langer?
Aye.
Mickelson?
Aye.
Munsterman?
Aye.
Solem?
Aye.
Stevens?
Aye.
Virtue?
Aye.
Wink?
Yay.
Westra?
Aye.
Gosch?
Aye.
12 yay, 1 nay.
House Bill 1072 is deferred to the 41st day. Takes us to our third item on the agenda. Which is House Bill 1065, an act to designate the Civilian Conservation Corps Museum of South Dakota in Hill City as the official Civilian Conservation Corps Museum of South Dakota. We'll take proponent testimony on House Bill 1065. Take your time, Representative. I know you're having some back issues.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Mike Vertio, and I am the proud representative of the citizens of District 30 here in the state of South Dakota. I am here to present a bill that would officially name our Civilian Conservation Corps Museum, which we refer to as the CCC Museum most often. That is located in Hill City as the official state museum, which when we instituted this and built it and raised the money for it, we thought it was. And we've had a grand opening with the Historical Society people there and had a grand old time with lots of the 80 and 90 year old veterans of the CCC Corps. However, that was not the case. So we're asking for that designation now. We have a clause in there that says that we do not expect to receive or will be asking for any state dollars for this museum. That's already been done. And with your permission, I would like to read into the record a letter that you have a copy of from Mayor David Gray of Hill City. It says, Honorable South Dakota State Senators and Representatives, it is with great pride I write this letter in support of the Civilian Conservation Corps Museum of South Dakota being designated as the official CCC museum within our great state. Hill City is known statewide as the heart of the Black Hills. Likewise, our vibrant city was at the center of dozens of CCC camps and projects throughout the area in the 1930s and 40s. The CCC program showcased our region and brought about a greater appreciation for our natural resources. Through numerous completed projects, the CCC developed and enhanced many of the parks and infrastructure we enjoy today. The Civilian Conservation Corps Museum of South Dakota illustrates these historic work projects, but more importantly, it conveys the spirit of men working through difficult economic times to better themselves and their families. Much of what has been accomplished by the CCC is now taken for granted, and we need to continue to share the awe-inspiring stories of what was accomplished those many years ago. The Civilian Conservation Corps Museum of South Dakota has and will continue to shine a spotlight on the achievements of the CCC within the great state of South Dakota. Please accept this letter of support to designate the Civilian Conservation Corps Museum of South Dakota as the official CCC Museum of South Dakota. With so many camps, projects, and accomplishments in our area, I can think of no better place to represent the hard work and success of the South Dakota CCC. Thank you for allowing me to do that. Just a brief, I have some people who are going to testify here to the history of and some of the accomplishments of the CCCs. But just so you know, those of you who come out to and don't live there, come out to enjoy our beautiful Black Hills, there would be hardly any of the man-made lakes, bridges, stone culverts, amenities in Custer State Park. After yesterday, I hate to mention this, but Harney Peak, the lookout tower there, all kinds of infrastructure was developed, including roads in the Black Hills and all over western South Dakota, basically, and some in eastern South Dakota. So with that, I would like to turn this over to a lady who was instrumental in getting this placed into Hill City and getting it developed and helped raise an awful lot of the money for it, and she can explain Mr. Hermanson's contribution, which is a bronze statue that you see as you come into Hill City from the east. And it's a beautiful location, professionally designed displays and built by people who are used to working with museums. And I think you'd be impressed if you haven't been there to see it. And I don't want to steal any of her thunder. So the only thing I'd like to say about the lady who's about to testify is that if she ever contacts you on something that she is interested in accomplishing, it's kind of like a bulldog biting you know where and not letting go. So you will accomplish her goals. Thank you very much. I'll stand by for questions.
Why don't you come join us back behind the desk, and we'll take further. Representative Versio, you can come join us back behind the desk here. We'll take further proponent bulldog testimony. While she's getting that set up, go ahead and state your name for the record. And
okay. I'm Peggy Sanders, and I will do a shameless promotion. Uh-huh. Actually, what I wanted to show you is the reason that we started the museum. When I did my first book, we had a grand opening, a debut for the book at the Journey Museum, and there were all these CCC men came, and I was amazed because this was in 2005. I thought they were probably, you know, dead by then, but there's still quite a few of them around. Is that okay? Here we have a picture of our museum. We are located in the upper level of the Hill City Visitor Information Center. And we established this in 2008 when Representative Verschio was the director of the chamber in Hill City. And the statue, there are statues like this in 37 states across the nation, and they're identical, and they're kind of a hallmark for people when they see that statue. And if you notice that the location, it evokes a CCC camp with the trees and the rocks behind. The CCC was established March 31, 1933, and it went until June 30, 1942, 9 years. Approximately 40 camps in South Dakota, including Farm Island right here, and four of them in the Hill City area. We hired a professional museum designer, and she put these displays together. In the foreground, you see those tools. Those were used by Stan Hendrickson, who lives in Rapid City. He helped build the steps on Harney Peak. We have a database of that I've been working on for 8 years. So far, of 27,000 names of men who served in South Dakota in the CCC. We have that available at the museum, and we have desk volunteers there. And just in Custer State Park, as Representative Verschio said, they built the Norbeck Center, the Mount Coolidge Tower, Stone Bridges, Stockade Lake, Center Lake. Black Hills Playhouse was a... one of the CCC camps. Of course, they did forestry and drought relief, developed springs. And many of you knew Vernon Ashley. He was in the CCCs, and unfortunately, he passed away before we had a chance to have him come. And then Jay Hendrickson from Hill City, he's been president of the Lions Bank, iBank in Sioux Falls. Several of you know him. We have been donated this truck, which is in Kansas. It's a 1935 GMC, fully restored, verified by GMC. It was built for the CCC by the axle number. And we have to build a building to put it in. And so that'll be our next big project. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Ms. Sanders. Further proponent testimony? Or did you have more to say?
Nope.
Okay. Any other proponents? Any opponents? Are you... Angela, come on. Come up and testify.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Angela Ehlers, and I represent South Dakota's conservation districts. The CCC, the Civilian Conservation Camps, are...
Okay, I apologize. I'll start over. My name is Angela Ehlers, and I represent South Dakota's conservation districts. And the CCC, the Civilian Conservation Camps, are some of the first conservation projects in the state. They were very active in the hills, but if you go to Redfield and the Huron area, the Woolsey area is one of the worst places. We had barns almost covered by soil erosion, and those camps were there to assist those producers. Many of your state-owned dams that you now use for fishing and public recreation were created by CCC. I'm from Lyman County. We had two camps in our county. There was one in Winter down by the Dixon Hamill one. The ones in Presho created Brackey Dam. You see when you go past on Interstate 90, they created Fate Dam. There was thousands of projects. The other funny part about it is a lot of those people stayed. My aunts married two CC guys. So it's got a great history in the state. It's a wonderful recognition of the contribution these people have made to the history and the preservation of our state. And I appreciate that, and we recommend your positive action on this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ehlers. Further proponents? Senator Olson, good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Senator Betty Olson, District 28, and I'm the Senate sponsor of this because my father was one of those CCC workers way back in the day. Dad passed away 30 years ago, but he was very proud of what those kids, and they were kids out there doing all sorts of jobs that was keeping them and their families alive. And I wouldn't be a sponsor if we were asking for any state money. My father would come back to haunt me if we were asking for state money. But I would really appreciate you passing this and sending it over.
Thank you, Senator Olson. And that's a mighty fine jacket you have on this Wednesday. Further proponents? Seeing none, any opponents? Ms. Webb, are you here to testify as an opponent? Okay. You want to come up and announce that change? Okay, seeing no opponents, we'll waive rebuttal and go to questions by the committee if there are any. Any questions by the committee? Okay, and then we'll go to committee discussion. Representative Holly. I do have a question. Representative Wink, go ahead.
I'm curious as to who was the sculptor on that. Do you know who the sculptor was on that?
It's controversial. One guy said it was him.
Ms. Sanders, can you come up to the microphone, please, and just... We do have some people listening, and I'd love to hear your answer on this.
We really haven't determined who was the original sculptor. There's two men that claim that they were.
Do you remember their names?
Not off the top of my head. It's out of Michigan, was the original.
What year was it placed?
We placed it in 2008.
Okay, so it's fairly recent then.
Yes, yeah, okay. Yes, and it was donated to us by Melvin Hermanson, who was from Rapid City, had Hermanson Grocery. $15,000, he gave us some money to buy it and put it up.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Okay, Representative Holly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick comment. I wasn't aware that there was a museum. And I'm really happy to hear that and happy to support this bill. The CCC was such a big part of South Dakota history across the entire state, and the Black Hills, and you know, when you climb up Harney Peak, by the time I struggle to the steps at the end, I can't believe that somebody was still working by the time they got to the top. But it's just the other thing I find interesting, when you're in Custer State Park and you drive up to Bluebell Lodge, just before you get to the lodge in the bend, there's a sign there thanking the CCC in the late 1930s for getting rid of the pine beetle infestation in the Black Hills.
Yep.
And so I've always found that interesting. But
I would add one thing. We've been very disappointed in Custer State Park. We tried to put the museum there, and they simply are not interested.
All right, Representative Verschio, do you have a motion to make?
I do, and a comment of...
you might want to make your motion first before you make a comment.
Okay. I move do pass.
Okay, the motion is do pass by Representative Verschio, seconded by Representative Mickelson. Comments on your motion?
Yes, thank you. As you can see, she's very passionate, and you can see what I dealt with in working with her, and that's probably the largest project I've ever worked on and to get it accomplished as quickly as possible, just to get Peggy Sanders off my back. No, I'm kidding. She's very outspoken, as you just heard, and she will share her opinion on virtually anything that she is interested in, and very often does in any kind of political endeavors I've been involved in so far in the district. So I would appreciate your support on this, and I know that Ms. Sanders will too. And it's as Representative Holly said, this is an absolutely amazing organization that put people to work without being drug tested, by the way, put a lot of food on their tables. So we appreciate your support. Thank you.
Okay, the motion is due pass. Those in favor vote aye. Those opposed, no. Secretary, please call the roll.
Representative Spartling. Bolin?
Aye.
Hager?
Aye.
Howley?
Aye.
Langer?
Aye.
Mickelson?
Aye.
Munsterman?
Aye.
Solem?
Aye.
Stevens?
Aye.
Virtue?
Aye.
Wink?
Aye.
Westra?
Aye.
Gosh?
No. I mean, aye.
We have 13 yeas, 0 nay.
And with that, House Bill 1065 goes to the floor with a due pass recommendation. 13-0. Motion for consent. Any objection?
Yes.
I'll object. I would like to hear some more of the CCC on the House floor.
Yeah, please.
So, appreciate the effort by the committee to be efficient. That concludes our agenda. I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Moved by Hager, seconded by Westra. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. We are adjourned.